Well, before Normal even existed, two railroad lines crossed here. In 1853, the Illinois Central building from Northern Illinois all the way down to Cairo, and then the Chicago and Alton, working its way from Alton to Chicago, met where Normal is today. It was called the Junction. And having two railroads in the 1850s that met in one location that connected much of Illinois was a rarity at that time period. So siting the first state public university here gave it an extra push to locate here, because now you were accessible probably within a day's journey of most of the state of Illinois.
And how much did that day's journey compare to the rest of travel in that era? How much did it compress accessibility?
Well, figuring if you were on foot or on horseback, 6 to 10 miles a day would have been a good day. So the idea that you could have come from LaSalle or Freeport and made it to the Junction within one day, or come from Edwardsville or Alton and do it within one day, was pretty novel for the time period.
How did that change economies?
Number one, just think of agriculture. And instead of producing for a local market or taking your corn and making it into corn whiskey and floating it down the Mississippi, you could now actually ship agricultural products not only throughout the U.S. but internationally. You had access to ports, you had access to other marketplaces. And then the other resulting thing was industry, and particularly for McLean County, the Chicago and Alton Railroad locating its main repair shops on the west side of Bloomington attracted what would have been an industrial elite of the time period, people who knew how to build and repair railroad cars and locomotives. This was cutting-edge technology for the 1850s and 1860s.
And culturally, what difference does the transportation link make?
Well, it brings people. You know, and we always have this wonderful thing in America of lots of immigrants and different people from diverse backgrounds coming together. And, of course, our great American story is how we get along with each other or don't get along with each other. But suddenly the railroad is through here. Well, much of the railroad work is done by immigrant Irish workers who are fleeing the potato famine. So that's part of our influx of Irish people in McLean County. A lot of English and German mechanics come to work in the shops. Normal's early settlement of African Americans. Again, this is a way out of the South to come to a community in the North that's welcoming. So part of our diversity is there because people had transportation access to the area.
How much does it also help the formation of a national popular culture?
Very much so. Think about vaudeville. Think about traveling shows and acts. You know, the idea that you could work out a tour and hit a different city every night and not have to spend days traveling between cities gave people great access. I was looking through some old theatrical programs for Drury's Hall in Bloomington in the 1870s and 1880s, and prominently in the schedule is the railroad schedule into Bloomington and into Normal. So, hey, if you want to come into town to catch a show, here's how you get here. But it also puts the performers on the road and brings a lot of famous names into the area.
Technology shifted then after the railroads had a half century to 60 years of dominance, and Bloomington Normal was there for that as well.
One of the big movements of the World War I era in the 1920s is what's known as the hard road movement. And very common for rural people, especially farmers, to get their wagons and their buggies and their Model Ts stuck in the mud because there was no accessible road system once you left an urban area. And so building hard roads in the 1920s was a key to economic development. And, of course, the famous road that came through here was Route 66.
And there we turn to Terry Ryburn. Terry, how did that come about?
Well, there, of course, were a lot of behind-the-scenes manipulations. Cyrus Avery in Oklahoma, for instance, was very important to the movement. But, of course, people had been clamoring for getting up out of the mud, which is what we have here much of the year when we have rain or snow. There was a plan to do a road that would go from Chicago all the way to California. And again, there were these manipulations to, you know, see which city it would go through. And of course, it comes from Chicago and comes through Normal Bloomington on its way to St. Louis before it heads west.
Earlier, there had been plank roads. There had been gravel roads. A hard road meant what?
Well, I still call it the hard road occasionally because that's what I grew up hearing was, you know, go out to the hard road. It was, of course, concrete. And there were segments of it prior to Route 66. This was not the first pouring of concrete roads, but they were just segments. For instance, in Shirley in the early 1900s, there was a mile and a quarter. And in the Pantograph, there was an article that said when people leave Bloomington Normal to go joyriding, they head to Shirley. So you can just envision them joyriding at maybe 10, 15 miles an hour. It must have been quite thrilling. So we had all these segments of roads. And what we did in Illinois was to link them up. So we had, for instance, roads that ran along the railroad. In fact, that was a transportation corridor. So they just moved over a little bit and built the road. So when you travel Route 66 today, you can generally look over and see the railroad on one side, and then you look over and see the interstate on the other.
With technology, with a transportation route, you also get businesses. How did that develop along Route 66?
You know, in 1926, we were gearing up for the Depression, and we, of course, didn't realize that at the time, although there were people in dire economic straits in the late 1920s. So when this road came through, people looked for an opportunity to make money. They thought about what would people need. Well, of course, they would need gasoline. They would need to have a car fixed if they had a car. They would need to have a place to stay. So tourist camps and cabins and things began to be built. They would need somewhere to eat. So restaurants and lunch counters were especially popular. In Normal, we had quite a variety of those sorts of businesses that sprang up along the road to take care of travelers and locals. It wasn't just travelers. The locals obviously needed that as well.
How did the existing institutions in Bloomington Normal help the development of this as an arterial highway?
There are three institutions in Normal along Route 66 that are very important to the development of the highway. The first one you would encounter coming from the north on Route 66 would be the Illinois Soldiers and Sailors Children's School. Immediately across the street was built a gas station and a tourist camp, if you will. The next one you would encounter is the Baby Fold on the corner of Willow and Linden. And then, of course, the last institution would be Illinois State Normal University at that time. And lots of people use the road to get to and from those institutions.
How do the various transportation changes affect the patterns of settlement and development?
You know, it's fascinating. Normal is a great case study right now because when the highways came, and particularly the interstate, everything went peripheral. And I always like to point to a house built in the last 20 years where the most prominent thing is the garage door. And a house built 30 or 50 years ago, the most prominent thing is the front porch. The older home was built for the pedestrian culture. The modern home was built for the automotive culture. But Normal is fascinating because we are, because of Uptown Station, returning to more of a pedestrian, urban-centered community. And so, in a sense, we've gone through, because of the interstates, that peripheral suburbanization, but now you see much of the activity coming back to the original corridor of the railroad.
Terry, some thoughts?
Well, of course, businesses had to adapt as the interstate opened. In fact, when the Beltline went around Bloomington Normal, now of course we call it Veterans Parkway, businesses that were along Route 66 now became Business Route 66. So they had to adapt or die. And some of them were able to hang on. Some of them were able to provide services to locals. And of course, there were still people traveling along Route 66. Where my building is at 305 Pine, that was used for many, many things. There was in the 50s, for instance, there was an ambulance. They had a hearse there. They had rental cars. It was a Greyhound bus stop. They had a restaurant over time. You see, these things had to adapt to change.
Looking forward in new transportation technologies, we have drones, we have high-speed rail, we have personal vehicles that are more easily powered through electricity. How is that all going to affect Bloomington Normal?
It's fascinating, particularly if the rail really does enter into its full potential of a higher speed rail system. When you look at the Chicago Metro system, the Chicago Rail Commuter system, and you're coming from the furthest suburbs into the city, Normal will be a quicker trip than the periphery of Metro. So what is that going to do in terms of people perhaps deciding to live here, live in a condo uptown, move here because of the schools and the neighborhood atmosphere, but commute into Chicago, or people that like the big city, but come down here 2 or 3 days a week to work too. So the potential there is very interesting. Plus what the town has done to kind of establish itself as an electric car friendly community, you know, I mean, that's something that's probably just going to continue to grow.
Terry, what does Route 66 suggest as an analog that might be transferable to high-speed rail or to new transportation technologies?
Well, of course, I'm always looking backwards, and we have more and more visitors who are coming to travel Route 66, and obviously they can get here by rail and leave from Normal if they like, but so many people are looking to get away from this whole faster culture. They want to take a step backwards and travel and meet genuine people. And that's one thing I hear when I speak with international travelers who stop at my building. One of them, in fact, said to me, well, you know, I thought I knew America. And I asked him where he had been. He'd been to Los Angeles, he'd been to New York City, and he'd been to Disney World. But he only felt like he started to meet and understand Americans when he got away from that and traveled Route 66. So I'm hoping that that continues. That's sort of my life work right now.
Terry Ryburn and Mike Matejka, lecturers and facilitators as part of the Normal 150 celebration. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.